Hi everyone, my name is Craig Boerter and I'm speaking to you at the end of this first week of the lockdown. I'm speaking to you from my study here in Pietermaritzburg. I'm here with my wife Shannon and I want to bring you a word of encouragement this morning from God's Word. I want to speak to you about faith. We've been doing a series called Rooted in the Gospel, and last week Masala spoke an excellent word on how we should respond during times of tragedy. And he said to us that we shouldn't just ask questions why these things have happened, but we should ask the what question. What can we learn from these things? And he encouraged us to keep our hearts soft towards God and repentant, and to reach out to others and to do good works during such a time as this, because people are much more open during a time of crisis. Jesus himself said to us that there would be worldwide upheaval at the end of the age, but that he would be with us through it all. And so I'm sure you've also been trying to discover how to use Zoom and WhatsApp and encourage others. I'm spent quite a time trying to upload this message on my cell phone, and then I have to send it off to be uploaded to you guys as well. But I trust that God would speak to us through his word today. And so, Lord, we thank you that you're with us during the storms of life. And we pray as we come to your word this morning, you would encourage us greatly in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God spoke to us even in December last year about when the curtain lifts. He said when the curtain lifts on 2020, things were going to change completely. It was not going to be business as usual. And even when I brought that word, I had absolutely no idea that it was going to involve such ramifications as we're living through at the moment. And people are saying all over the world that that the world will not be the same again after this coronavirus, that it's been the biggest threat since World War II. And we've also gone through further challenges in South Africa as we've been dropped to junk status economically. But we need to also trust God that it will also cause our government to lead with more wisdom during this season, and to continue to pray for them, particularly our president, who's led us well through this lockdown period. PJ, our leader, part of our movement Advance, he wrote last week and said, these are days of crisis and opportunity, and he would encourage us to find courage in God and to become WhatsApp encouragers, to use social media to encourage one another. He reminded us that the church has generally done really well during times of crisis, as God shakes us awake, as the giant, the church being the giant, awakens. And so I would encourage you, even during lockdown, to look for opportunities for the gospel. Andrew Wilson, he's one of the other leaders that we're in touch with, and he said, these challenges make us more like the New Testament church, even though we're apart. And he mentions a few things I just want to speak to you about this morning before we come to our text. He says, first of all, it emphasizes family all over again. We see that we're not just individuals, but we're in our homes with our children and our wives. And even if you're single, you're part of a church family at this time. It's placing family at the center as we care for one another and just stay in touch with one another, to find out how we're doing and do we need help financially or groceries and otherwise. And I would encourage us to keep doing that. It's also given us a new awareness of the poor and of the elderly and those that are sick amongst us, as well as we self-isolate as well, and we maintain some kind of social distancing. And so we need to continue to remember the poor. Over 40 million South Africans earn less than 8,000 Rand a month, and people are struggling at a time like this. But finally, he also reminded us that times like this also promote prayer. And this virus has already released a worldwide focus on prayer and the word and our devotional lives. And many churches across the globe have begun prayer chains and delving into God's word to hear from God at this time. And I would encourage you to keep doing that, because God will speak. The Lord has always got the church to pray before revival. And we wonder what God is up to as he awakens us to prayer at such a time as this. I was just reading a little bit from James Fraser. And James Fraser was a missionary in the first part of the last century, and he was working in China with the Lisu people in Lisu land. And it used to snow, and it was a mountainous area. And he found at one stage of his life that he couldn't get to the villages. He couldn't climb the mountain to get to the villages to encourage them. And he felt initially disappointed, and then he felt God saying to him, why don't you pray for them instead? And so he knew it would take him about 3 to 5 days to go up into the mountains, to be with the people and come down again. And so he decided, instead of traveling, to use that time to pray. And he did. He gave himself to prayer. And when the snow lifted and he went up there again, he found that the people had prospered and God had been at work amongst them. And one missionary wrote after that, he said, James Fraser never knew the full results of his prayer experiment. Many missiologists trace the enormous revival that swept through China in the past 50 years to the revival that began during the winters when James Fraser stayed at home and prayed. It's in an excellent little book called Mountain Rain, which speaks about his life and his ministry. So God is teaching us new things through this time as well. And I would encourage you to press into the Lord. This virus has also shown us finally that we're part of a global culture, the most powerful civilization that ever lived. We're interconnected such as never before. Right now it's to overcome the virus. But friends, when revival breaks out, when God begins to move, the news of the gospel can spread overnight like wildfire to the far reaches of the globe. And so let's trust God during this time of crisis as well. But let's come to the scriptures as we read God's word this morning. And I want to speak to you about how we maintain faith in a storm, in the midst of a storm. You may be familiar with the passage. It's in Luke chapter 8. And Jesus sends the disciples across the lake in a boat. And it says, one day he got into a boat with his disciples in verse 22, Luke chapter 8. And he said to them, let's go across to the other side of the lake. And so they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him? And so, what does the Bible firstly tell us about faith? It says that faith is really believing God. Faith is trusting God. It is trusting His word and His character. The English Standard Version Study Bible says, biblical faith is not a leap in the dark, but it's a confident trust in the eternal God who is all-powerful, infinitely wise, and trustworthy, and who has revealed Himself in the person of Jesus, and whose promises are true from generation to generation, and who will never leave or forsake us. And so a Christian is primarily a believer. We believe in Jesus. We have faith, not just in principles, but in a person. And His name is Jesus. And because of that, it enables us to look to the future and to also press through what's happening currently as well, because we know that God holds the present and the future, as well as us in His hands. And so the Lord wants us to live by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. God has chosen faith as a means to interact with Him, because it is a receiving grace. It's nothing we bring. We just simply have to trust God, particularly through times of crisis. Nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to your cross I cling. But friends, what happens when a storm comes along? What happens when there's a lengthy storm, a global storm, a viral storm, followed by an economic storm? How do you apply your faith during times like this? Even storms that appear when you're being obedient. They were following Jesus. They were in the boat with him. And storms on lakes and at sea can be very scary. I know I've been through a few myself, and it can be terrifying. So what do you do when you're in the midst of a storm? And I want to give you a few points to encourage you from our text this morning. First of all, you have to put your faith to work in storm time. Jesus said to them when he awoke, he said to them, where is your faith? Where's it gone to? Where's it disappeared to at this time? You see, they had faith. They got into the boat with Jesus. If you're a Christian, that means that there was a day that you heard the gospel, you heard that Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth, that he took your sin upon himself, that he died upon the cross, and he rose again for our forgiveness and to bring us new life. And you put your trust in Jesus. And so God gave you faith to believe. And that was really stage one faith, when you started to believe. But there are different levels of faith as well. And we need to also find a faith that matures and grows. And there's level two faith. Stage one faith is what God does for us in Christ. Stage two faith is what God does through us in Christ. Stage one is the foundation. Stage two is building on the foundation. Stage one is qualifying for the race. Stage two is running the race. Stage one, you're secure in Christ and you cannot be lost. Stage two, you need to apply your faith or your reward may be lost. Stage one is getting into the boat with Jesus, which they did. Stage two is getting through the storm with Jesus. And so the way you do that is to apply your faith. You put your faith to work. We've all been given a measure of faith, the Bible says. And we need to ask God for his help, that we activate it in the midst of a storm. Faith doesn't just work automatically or magically. It's something you have to put into operation, particularly during times of trial. I know I've also struggled at this time to I wondered what's going on, and I've had to put my faith into operation. I've had to look to God. Hasn't always been easy. Corona is a global storm, and we're in it together. We're in it together. We're learning to trust God together in this lockdown period, and we're learning to encourage one another. But sometimes we also go through secret storms. We go through private storms, health storms and financial storms and storms in our families as well. And part of faith is looking beyond yourself, looking to God, not looking within, but looking away from yourself and looking to God and to keep looking to him. And part of that is refusing fear. The absence of faith will open the door to fear. And so faith is really is fear kept quiet. It's unbelief kept quiet. Faith says, I'm not going to be controlled by my feelings and by these circumstances. I'm going to look to God. The disciples were full of fear, even though they were seasoned fishermen, and they felt that they were going to drown. And sometimes things can crop up like this virus that is beyond our capabilities and ability to cope. And sometimes we need to reach beyond science and circumstance and lay hold of our God at times like this. Faith also stops and thinks before acting, before responding. It says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it's beyond our thinking, beyond our comprehension, it will guard your heart, your emotions, your inner being, and it will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. And then it says, and so finally, whatever is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable, if there's any excellence in these things, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Don't just focus on the negative. Don't just focus on fears. The disciples didn't do that because of the wind and the waves in the boat. Distress can overwhelm you. But for most of the time, friends, the situation is not totally out of control. And sometimes it's helpful just to stop and to think and to learn to look to God again. Jesus said, do not be afraid. Put your trust in God. Some commentators said that there's about 365 do not fears in the Bible, because we need one for every day of the year to help us through. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And feelings are among Satan's primary instrument in attacking Christians and knocking us off course. And we need to learn in the midst of these things to just look to God, to trust Him. Believing God and believing His word changes my heart, which in turn affects my feelings and affects my actions. Emotions make great servants but bad masters. And so we need to understand these things and respond according to God's word and His character, not just what we're seeing on social media. You have to remind yourself of what you believe and what you know. I know that Jesus is in the boat. He's over there. There He is. Don't take the presence of the storm as the absence of God. Don't do that. God's with us. He's with us at this time. Don't read into the storm strange ideas about God, that He doesn't care. The disciples said, don't you care that He will let us perish, that He created the coronavirus? It's absolute nonsense. Satan loves to spin lies about God during storm time. He only came to Jesus in the desert after 40 days when He was tired and He was hungry. And so we need to stop and think and think, are we really going to drown with Jesus in the boat? Is there anything that God cannot do? Perhaps you can remember how He delivered you last time you went through a storm. I know I can remember. And where we need to trust His word rather than our feelings. We need to say to ourselves, I'm not going to die in the storm, but even if I do, it really is, death is a door that opens up into the presence of the Lord. So we are not like those who have no hope at a time like this. And friends, don't think that God can't use this crisis in a major way for the gospel. Just watch what God is up to. And as He awakens His bride in the midst of this fear and chaos, and He teaches us afresh to believe, He strengthens our faith, and He gets us to pray like never before, and He prepares the global stage for what He is wanting to do in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the proclamation of the gospel. And so faith sees the wind and the waves. It sees the virus. It sees that it's bad. Faith stays under lockdown. It's not rebellious. It's not unrealistic, where some people can say, well, I'm not confessing a storm right now. Well, you have to, because you're in the midst of one. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham, when he was promised a child in his old age, it said he faced the facts that he was well beyond childbearing age. And he looked at his wife and she reminded him of the same things. But he faced the facts, but he still looked beyond the facts to God. He trusted God. He held on to God's word, and God met him and God answered the promise that He gave him. And you see, so friends, I would encourage you to settle the fact that God is with us in this. Settle that forever. Don't doubt His nearness. Don't doubt His ability to deliver us and to be with us. It says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 to 3, the Lord says, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burnt, and the flame will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So stand on what you believe and know. Hold on to what you believe about God in the midst of a storm. That's how you find faith. You access Him by faith. And God gives you his word and his promises to help in times like this as well. And so as I draw to a close, let me ask you, where do you go then in God's word to find faith when he seems to be sometimes absent and hidden or sleeping during a time of crisis? Maybe you've felt that yourself, just as the disciples wondered. Well, I would encourage you to go back to the cross. Go to the Gospels and gaze on the cross again, where Jesus died and where God seemed totally absent. He seemed absent. And yet, he was most present and involved and watching. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet, in that darkest moment, in the midst of that crisis, God was performing his greatest work. He was at work, hidden in the cross. And God loves to be involved and to work through times of greatest stress and difficulty. As we look to him, we find he's able to turn situations around and bring great good and great breakthrough and great blessing through them as well. Luther said, the picture of the cross must hold us captive and feed our faith. Faith begins when we behold the cross and we see what God did in the midst of the darkest hour. On the cross, I see that Jesus obeyed in my place. My failures are covered by his obedience. On the cross, I see that Jesus died in my place. My sins are covered by his blood. On the cross, I see that Jesus also believed for me. My lack of faith, just like the disciples, is covered by his great faith. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I live by the faith of Jesus. Not just I live by faith in Jesus. It's not just faith in Jesus, but it's the faith of Jesus. When our faith is weak, when our faith is gone, it's disappeared, where is your faith? We can hook our weak faith to his great faith. And he keeps believing, and he'll pull us through. The disciples did that, and they got to know God in an amazing way. In a way they would not have experienced if they hadn't gone through storm time. Jesus wakes up, and he rubs the sleep out of his eyes, and he commands the winds and the waves to obey him. And there's a great calm everywhere. Michael Eaton says, how can someone be so tired and so powerful at the same time? They're getting a glimpse into the marvels and wonders of the person of the Lord Jesus. He is man as though he's not God, and he is God as though he's not a man. And so you discover new dimensions of God. The disciples said, what kind of man is this? One minute he's sleeping, the next minute he's commanding nature. And they got to know him in fresh dimensions. And so will we at this time as we look to him. And it's called stage two faith. It's what I'm trying to learn at this time as well. And so as we go through the storm, as I close, let's look to God and apply our faith. Let's not give way to fear. Let's stand on his word and his promises. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's remember the cross, when God seemed absent and didn't save Jesus, but was most powerfully at work. Let's see what God does during this global crisis to prepare the entire world for a great and mighty and unprecedented move of the gospel. Let's see what he does as he awakens the church to pray such as never before. He's getting Zoom and WhatsApp and Skype and all these things ready for what's coming in the future. And so as I conclude, I'm really looking forward to when we come together again and even now to hear the testimonies and the stories of people's grace and faith that emerge through this global crisis. I'm looking forward to seeing a church awakened and revived because we've gone through a bit of persecution. I'm looking forward to a world that's less arrogant and more open to the gospel because we realize we don't have all the answers. Friends, it's by faith that we see these things. We see what God can do. And so let's keep believing. Let's stay rooted in Christ, in God, in faith. He's preparing us for something great that's about to come. And so I would encourage you to think on these words, even during the week as we gather in our homes and in our families and our households. Please gather together with those that are with you. If you're on your own, you can perhaps connect via social media with others as well. Please read through this passage again, Luke chapter 8, about the storm and the disciples. Meditate on the passage. Look at the response of the disciples. Ask yourself, we'll put the questions up again during the week, but ask yourself, how have you and your household been doing during this time, during this coronavirus, the storm we've been going through? Ask God to help you to strengthen your faith, to apply your faith, to keep believing. Read God's word. Meditate again on the cross. Believe his promises. And write down some of the things God is saying to you during this time, that we can share them with one another and be strengthened in our faith, rooted in God, rooted in his promises. May God bless you. May God strengthen you. Let's stay in touch with one another. Let's keep trusting the Lord. Let's reach out to others. Let's be good neighbors in our street and those we know. And let's show forth the love of God during such a time. God bless you.